Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I've been thinking about how that we seek to find people who are lost. We go forth or we witness, we give the gospel to them, and from time to time, the Lord lets us see someone brought to a saving knowledge of himself. At other times, there are those who are very hostile toward the gospel. At times, there are those who seem to be indifferent toward it. And at other times, there are those who seem to be very hungry for the gospel. They've just been waiting for someone to come along and give them the message. The Lord has gone before through others who have taken this word, taken this message. He has gone before and prepared that heart. And we come along, and the fruit is ready to be picked, plucked from the bush. And there is one who goes along rejoicing. Very much like the man, the Ethiopian eunuch, who was searching the scriptures, and he was given the gospel of Christ, and he came to know the Lord Jesus, according to Acts chapter 8. He came into a right relationship with the Lord. The thief on the cross, recognizing who Jesus was, called out to him and asked for salvation, and on that very day he received salvation. There are various situations, and the contrast between those two examples. One was a thief dying. The other was one who handled money, which was entrusted to him, and he was overseeing a whole kingdom's riches, watching over the treasury. And so they both needed salvation, and they both heard the gospel. And they were both brought into a right relationship with the Lord. One's sojourn ended on that day that he heard the gospel. The other's sojourn through this life began afresh, anew, when he heard the gospel. Now, you and I are charged with giving out the gospel. Now, you can do that through the gospel tracts. You can do that to family members. Give out the gospel to strangers. Give out the gospel to those who have turned themselves and classed themselves or positioned themselves to be enemies to you. We can give the gospel out to friends. We can give the gospel out to religious people. We can give the gospel out to sick and well. We can give the gospel out to the poor or the prosperous. We can give this message to whosoever will, whomever we would give it to. Give the gospel. Go everywhere with the gospel. The reason why we go where we go, we are wanting to make known the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we must earn the right to be heard. And then there are other times when we just break in and present the gospel of Christ. Sometimes others will say, "What gives you the right to talk to me like that? Aren't you very arrogant? I don't know you." But the Lord Jesus knows you, and I just want to tell you who he is, and I want to tell you the salvation that is in Christ. And the ones who are angered by it generally are the ones with whom the gospel will stick. It'll stay. And the ones who come along and they're very syrupy and sweet, you know, and everything you say they go along with, that person generally won't take anything in that you've said. The ones who are angered by it and feel resentful that you, of all people, would talk to them about their need for salvation. And you'll remember them, and you can pray for them. And one thing about this matter of giving out the gospel, when we part ways, we can still be praying for those people, and there's nothing they can do, not a single thing they can do to stop your prayers for them. And that's what we're doing. One lady said to me just recently, "I don't think it'll do you any good to pray for me to be saved like that." And she doesn't know that, but I'm still praying for the Lord to open her heart and save her soul out of her religion. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldest bless the message today. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit to minister thy word, and that it will be clear and plain for Jesus' sake. Amen. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 26, the gospel according to Genesis, I started to say, and of course the gospel is in Genesis. But in Genesis chapter 26, we were looking at the fact that Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now they were being blessed by the well that had been digged by Abraham. And they were careful to take care of that which he had left and to reopen those wells that were digged. And now they are going on and they are finding wells of springing water. You know, those are the kind of wells that the water just gushes up, comes up. They don't have to go down deep to get them. The water flows. They've tapped into an underground stream and it's just coming straight forth. Well, you know, if you're willing to make full use of what the Lord has already given to you, then he can bless you with more and beyond above that which you already know that he has given. Living water, continually flowing. And so this is a testimony of the grace that God has for us. The grace that is there when you will make use of what he has already given to you. Don't wait for him to give you more if you're not making wise use of that which he's already given. John 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Lord indeed has this for us as we believe and trust in him, as we live for him. That's what happens when you are saved. The light of the Lord, the water of life, comes forth. Verse 20, Genesis 26. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac, and they, you know, and that's one thing that happens when prosperity comes. There comes the matter of people just willing to argue about what they have, and they feel like, oh, my blessings, and mine, and move yours over, give me more room. So verse 20 says, And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Now listen, if you're moving, if you are living for the Lord, and you're finding and you're showing the world or rather, if the world is seeing the blessings of the Lord in your life, there is going to be some jealousy or some contention for that which the Lord has given to you. These herdmen of Gerar. Now, remember, Abimelech had said, go from us, seeing that he is being blessed. So the well which had been digged, see, the other wells were stopped. And now there's problems. Isn't it amazing? That's the covetous heart. Here's a great picture of it. The covetous heart does not say, I want something like you have. But the covetous heart says, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have anything like what I have taken from you. That's the covetous heart. When a person is guilty with the sin of covetousness, they don't want you to be in the room where they are. They not only say, I don't want you to have a room, I don't want you to have a room like mine. You don't deserve what I have. You are not fit to be elevated and have as much as I have. And that's the heart of the covetous person. They're upset. And you can make them sadden because you have more or as much as they have. A friend of mine and I, one of our members of our church, one of our deacons, one Sunday, we had both gotten new ties on Saturday and wore those neckties to church the next day. And his tie was exactly as mine. And he jokingly said, you know, if we were women, one of us would have to change these neckties. You know, that's generally true. I'm not picking on women for responding like that, but if two women wear a dress that is exactly alike, something doesn't go well. One time there, I saw two girls wearing dresses that were exactly alike, and I started to comment on them, and a friend of mine said, stop, don't say that. This was many years ago that he stopped me from saying that, because the tendency is to compare oneself with the way the dress is looking on the other. And so the idea is to say, well, I can't wear that anymore. And so, but that's a covetous heart, to have that attitude, to be envious of another who has something as you do. Let's read verse 20. The herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Now remember, what did we just read in the previous verse? Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. But the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, and they were willing to say, it's ours. Isn't that the way people are? That's the way the devil operates. He's a usurper. He's an interloper. He sees something, and he goes, and he lays claim to it. It's not his. He wants to lay claim to the souls of men, or the blessings that God has given to you. The devil wants to put his name on those things. He wants to put his stamp of approval. Now, let's make that practical. You serve the Lord, you live, and you learn the Lord. You start being a faithful testimony for him, and you become a successful individual. Then someone wants to come along and say, now listen, you don't have to speak so loudly for Christ. Why don't you join our group? Join our circle, and then don't talk so much about Christ, you know, because you're going to offend people if you keep giving out that gospel. You know, just think with me. Was it not the preaching of the gospel and the living of the gospel that made the blessings, or brought the blessings to you and the prosperity that you now know? Why do you want to abandon it? Why do you want to listen to the devil's crowd? They were opposed to you. They didn't care about you when you were not moving along very much or not very influential. And so often we find, and I read an article this past Sunday and in this past Sunday's newspaper about how that many groups, singing groups, get a start in the church, their voices are developed, and they get to see what pleases people. And then from there, they move on out into the world, and they, of course, I still have some questions about whether or not it was music unto the Lord in the first place, but they will go on, and they'll start. Now, you can make more money in the world, it says. The world is covetous of that which belongs to the Lord. And the world wants to put its stamp on those things that belong to the Lord. You better watch out. The devil wants your family. He wants your children. Your children look lovely. You got your family in order. Your wife and your husband, you have a happy relationship. What do they want? They want you to tone down the naming of Christ and tell the world that it was such and such a seminar that brought the peace. You better tell people it was the Lord Jesus who brought peace in your life and in your heart and in your home. Lift up Christ. Don't let the devil take that which belongs to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can come before Thy throne today. And Lord, we pray Thee to help us to be bold and faithful in our walk with Thee. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. May the Lord richly bless you.